going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
With the 30th overall pick, the Buffalo Bills. Why do I sound like the guy with the Raiders? That's like the Raiders music. That's what this is. You know that, right, Josh? You played like the Raiders music. Is this the autumn wind as a Raider or no?
No, this is called
is a
Classic Battle.
I
can play the Raiders
battle.
One if you want.
No, that's okay. But it reminds me of John Facenda. This music reminds me of John Facenda doing the talk about the Raiders. But that's actually the autumn wind as a Raider, I think. And it doesn't matter. It's great football music. I appreciate it. It is NFL Draft Day. Welcome, everybody. As I love to say, wake up from your hibernation. It is NFL draft day. Spring is here. What's the temperature today? Over 70? Are we looking at over 70 today, Josh?
I saw was 73 or 74. Woo! Something like that. So,
but you can't golf today. You can. I can't. I'm doing a radio show. Then I got to go to One Bills Drive and be there for the draft. I mean, Brandon Bean could golf today. He's like, yeah, board set. We've done our work. Could do that. I think that's happened before. Bean, Joe Shane, back in the day, I know Doug Whaley, his staff. Like, the work is done. It's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner, right? You prepare, you cook it. If you're host, you cook all this stuff, you get ready. And at some point, it's like, it's done. We're going to eat, and then we're just going to hang out. Like, there's nothing else to do. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If the turkey's bad, the turkey's bad. But we're going to live with it. That's where we are right now, folks, with the Buffalo Bills and the 2025 NFL Draft, which is tonight. The work is done. And then you get on the clock, and the work starts again. So it's not like they know. Look, I get people asking me all the time, what are you hearing? What do you think? All that. The Bills are going to move up. They're going to move down. I'm going to give you the ultimate. This is it. The ultimate inside secret. You ready for this, Josh? This is the ultimate inside secret. I'm going to give it to you right now for the Bills. Even they don't know what's going to happen by the time they get to 30. They could trade up. They've done that. Two of the last 3 years. They could trade down. They did that last year. But the fact of the matter is, until they're on the clock and until other teams are on the clock, and the board starts falling, nobody knows. The reason I say that is because if that were the case, we'd already have those deals. What is wild to me, independent of the Buffalo Bills, is we have not had one single trade of a first-round pick in this draft. That has never happened, I believe, in the common era of the NFL draft to this point. It is incredible that that is the case. It will happen tonight. It would be amazing if there's no trades at all. Not only do you get to the first round and there's no trades, and then there's none in the first round. I mean, that would be mind-blowing. I can't see it happening. And it's even more mind-blowing the fact that really over the last several years, we've been seeing more and more trades, younger general managers, you know, seriously, guys who've played like Madden growing up and franchise mode. And we've talked about this with Brandon Bean and others, but not this year. This year is everyone is picking in their original spot where they were slotted to pick at the end of the season. There was no, well, you know what? This team has this team's first rounder from a trade 2 years ago. Not the case this year. Wild. The first trade we have in this draft, is pick number 39. That is a part of the Caleb Williams deal between Carolina and Chicago from a few years ago. So that's where, or I should say, that would be the Bryce Young deal. I always get that confused, Josh. It's the Bryce Young deal when Carolina took Bryce Young and the next year they could have had Caleb Williams, right? That's how it went, I think. But that's the 39th overall pick. That's the first selection that is has been traded in this draft. The Bills are actually one of the higher traded picks in this draft. What I mean by that is pick number 56 the Bills have, that is originally the Minnesota Vikings pick, which was traded to the Houston Texans. And then the Texans traded it to the Bills as part of the Stephon Diggs deal last year. So that's the Bills pick at 56. The Bills have number 30 overall right now. Who knows where the board's going to fall? I have unveiled just a little over 3 hours ago. I have unveiled my one and only mock draft. I do it every year around the same way. Either the night before or the morning of the first round of the NFL draft, I post my mock draft. One round, no trades, and that's it. Let's go. I'm going to be really honest with you. I love doing mock drafts, the exercise. I don't love posting a mock draft, but I got to do it. It's part of my job. Here's the reason why. I just think you're so unpredictable. Now, it's different if the Bills are at 8 or 9, the year they took out Oliver. Like, that's a little different for me. But time you get to 30, it's such a crapshoot. Like, who's going to be there? That's my point of, we just don't know. We just don't know. I have some feelings, though, strong feelings on, I think, how the Bills want to lean in this draft. And I think overall, they want to lean defense, especially early. Defense. I would be really surprised if I would, as I sit here right now, I'd be very surprised if the first pick for the Bills is something other than defensive line or cornerback. I don't know what they're going to do. They could, all this smoke about safety, I want to get to that in a second, okay? I just would be surprised. Brandon Bean just spoke 2 days ago about how they set the board up for their board. It is not the consensus overall board. All these boards you see, Mel Kiper's big board, Dane Brugler's big board, Daniel Jeremiah's big board, Todd McShay's big board, all of your big boards, whatever it is. Those big boards are the consensus, like, top players and talented players. Yes, that is a component of it for each team, but how the Bills do it, and I'm assuming most teams, they're building their big board based on their team, their roster, their needs, their fits more than anything. That's probably the first thing they build on, their fits for their team, how he fits in. And then you go to need, right? When people say best player available, I always say the Bills will draft a best player available. As long as it's not at a position, they're not going to use him. If the best player available is a quarterback, they're not taking him. If the best player available is an offensive lineman, they're not taking him. I'd be pretty confident in saying that right now. But if the best available player is a defensive tackle, I think he's a Bill. If it's a corner, I think he's a Bill. If it's really, really close, which happens, and by best player available, you might have some nuance there. Is it best player by a very slim margin or a wide margin? If it's a wide margin, it's that guy if he's at a position they can use. If it's at a thin margin, you know what? Maybe we can wait another round. What does the next group look like? Where's the depth for this position? These things matter. So while I'll be the first to tell you, yes, they will draft BPA over need. It's not true BPA, but they certainly don't just draft need. They don't just say, we just need a corner. Let's go get one. You can't do that. You can't just grab a guy because he plays a position. You do draft a guy at a certain position because you have a need for it on your team. That's the nuance of it. And it's always tough. to kind of navigate around the wording of that. I have my mock draft, WGR550.com. Go check it out. I also posted it on X at Salesboard. You can check it out there. You can give me your feedback. That's always getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NorthtownKia.com. It is time for you, ladies and gentlemen, to call your shot. Let's do it. Call your shot. Who are the Bills taking at pick number 30? I have, because of the way the board fell, that's why I say I hate posting it and everybody thinking now Sal thinks they're taking that guy. I mean, it's just, no, this is the way the board fell. But I do think that this player would be a player they would like. Ohio State defensive tackle Tyleek Williams. I think Kenneth Grant could be in play. A lot of you like Kenneth Grant. I don't have him falling in my board to the Bills. I have, let me just go see where I have Kenneth Grant. I got to go back to where I did this. Hold on one second. I'm going to pull up my mock draft here. I have Tyleek Williams going 30th overall to the Bills. And I have Kenneth Grant going to his former college coach, made a connection there, Jim Harbaugh at 22 from Michigan, and Harbaugh obviously at the Chargers. In fact, I have back-to-back Michigan Wolverines at 22 and 23. Kenneth Grant at 22. Will Johnson, the cornerback, at 23, who I have slipping a little bit because of the concern, the injury concern. When you get down to 30, I mean, I could see a corner. I'm here to tell you, folks, if they take a corner, I will not be surprised. I've just always felt that the Bills feel they can wait on a corner to the second round because there should be some more guys available there. And with the moves they've made with Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White, they could at least get by, feel comfortable with a guy there until someone's ready to kind of step in and play. But they do need someone to step in and play, and a younger guy to step in and play. It's not just going to be Christian Benford and Tre'Davious White, let's roll. I don't think that. I think Tre'Davious White could be a starter day one, though. I really do. Week one. I think, like, to me, what I'm saying is I think the Bills feel Tre'Davious White might be a starter week one. It's not guaranteed, though. But this team absolutely has a need at defensive tackle, A, because they have to be better there. And B, look at the roster and numbers. I just think it's how it all fits. So that's why I have them going defensive tackle. Tyleek Williams is the guy I chose. Now, Tyleek Williams is a guy, he's not a true one technique. We've talked about this before. What does that mean, one technique? Well, one technique's more like a nose guard, right? He's a guy, the Bills don't play a 3-4. A 3-4 is a true nose guard. Three guys up front, so one nose guard, two defensive ends that are playing a little bit tighter than what you would in a 4-3, which is two defensive tackles, two defensive ends on the outside. He can play a one technique, which is closer to the center, a little bit more over the guard, and something the Bills need. They have Daquan Jones. Daquan Jones has not been the same since he was hurt in London in 2023. He's also getting a little older. He's also got 1 year left in his deal. They have Ed Oliver, who they really like, but he's undersized. I mean, I've seen people think the Bills should draft Walter Nolan if he's available. And maybe. But to me, that's taking another Ed Oliver. I don't think the Bills want to do that. That's not the fit. The fit is a bigger guy. I have Tyleek Williams at NFL.com. His prospect profile has him at 6'3", 334. Okay? Now, he's not as long as I think the Bills would like. But I think he could anchor, be the one technique, help out against the run, and be a part of a rotation. Is it sexy? No. And what I mean by that is, it's a rotational player. But folks, other than maybe corner, I could understand that. Who's actually coming in and starting on this team right away, day one, all the time, full-time starter? Maybe corner, but you got to really love him then. And I still think the Bills wouldn't be sure on that. Now, if you want to go to safety, there's been a lot of smoke about that. Let's talk about it. We'll also throw out the phone number. Call your shot. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up at 10:30, very excited to bring you a young man who is getting ready for the NFL draft and what else might hold for him this weekend, whether it's the draft, priority free agent, undrafted free agency. He's from Buffalo, went to St. Francis High School. So no, it's not Sean Dolak, who very well could get drafted, and I think he will. Another defensive player from Buffalo who's not getting talked about enough. His name is Matt Jaworski. Matt started out at St. Francis High School, but due to COVID, he wound up transferring to a high school in Alabama because Western New York and St. Francis didn't have football that year. Went to a high school in Alabama, and from there, went on to play college football. And how about this? He was the defensive player of the year in the Patriot League at Fordham. And he has measurables. And he has the body that can translate to the NFL. And he's going to join us at 10:30, a little bit on his story, what teams maybe he's met with, could be interested in him. We'll get with Matt Jaworski at 10:30 a.m. Excited to talk to Matt. We'll also talk at 11 a.m. with Andy Young from Spectrum News One. Andy's going to be down at the media room. Andy and I basically sit next to each other all the time in the media room. So whenever, the way it works is like we're in the back row, and sometimes you can't hear all the questions in the front row. I know a lot of you say the same thing. You can't hear the questions. We can't really sometimes in the back row, and even the answers sometimes. There's not really a speaker there. So I might lean over to Andy and go, did he just say this? Yeah, shh, okay. And we're typing. So anyway, I want to thank Andy for helping me out there. But in the meantime, does a great job of covering the Bills. He's going to join me at 11 a.m. I'll get his thoughts on, you know, the Bills and what he thinks they might do at number 30 and the way this draft might shake out. I've also asked you on Twitter, not just about the Bills, but where do you think I went right? Where do you think I went wrong as far as the draft overall? I do have Cam Ward going number one. I think that that is going to happen. I'm not convinced Cam Ward's going to be a terrific quarterback, but I think when you're in this position as the Tennessee Titans, who've never drafted number one overall, you have to do it. If you like a guy at least enough to think he can be a franchise quarterback, you got to take that swing. I mean, let's be honest. It's kind of like the Bills with Josh Allen. A lot of people didn't love Josh Allen, but the Bills are like, look, we're drafting high. We like this kid. We think he can translate, and they drafted him. So to me, I'm not comparing Ward to Allen. I'm saying the philosophy of drafting a quarterback early if you need one and you're in that position, you almost have to do it. Travis Hunter, I have going number two to the Cleveland Browns. I just think that's a slam dunk. If the Cleveland Browns don't take Travis Hunter, I think it's malpractice. This is a generational talent. Now, you're going to say, Sal, you just said if you have a position to draft a quarterback. I agree. I just think the drop-off from Ward to the next group is significant enough to say you can't pass on Hunter. I have Abdul Carter going number three to the Giants, but I do think the Giants are a team to watch for to climb back into the first round, which gets me to the Bills back at 30 again. We have seen a lot of people over this morning since last night linking the Bills to a safety at number 30. Malachi Starks is the name that most have been saying, but there are some saying Nick Emmanuori. Okay? I like both these players a lot. I think they're two very different players. All right? Starks is more of a center fielder, safe bet, really kind of really high floor. He could have a high ceiling. I'm going to say he has a low ceiling, but high floor. This is a really good football IQ, smart guy, no doubt about that. I think that Emmanuori, though, is more of your kind of really freak athlete, can make plays in any situation. Oh my God, like, just put him on the field and watch him go. And anybody could use a guy like that, right? I mean, this guy's 6'3", 220 playing safety, and he's going to translate. He's going to play well in the NFL. We had a discussion this morning on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe, and we got into it a little bit. It was a great discussion. Jeremy and Joe made the case and the defense for drafting a safety at number 30, because this has been kind of the groundswell of this. I am not here to push back on making that case. I think you can do it. I understand how anybody can do it. But as I've said time and time again over the last couple months, I think my job here should be more so to tell you what I think the Bills feel about their team. Not what Sal Capaccio does. I can give you that. It doesn't matter, really, if I think the Bills should draft a safety. I'm telling you, I'd be surprised if they draft a safety. I think the Bills feel a lot more invested and comfortable with Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop than you do, a lot of you. I think they feel a lot more comfortable and invested in Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop and what they're doing with them than a lot of the national media does, who just look at PFF grades and coverages and things like that and where the Bills could use a guy. Again, want to make the case they could draft a safety? Be my guest. It's okay. I mean, I could get there too. And the biggest reason for me, believe it or not, would probably be more opposite of the biggest reason for you. I don't know how sold they are on Bishop. I think they're sold on him, but they did draft him in the second round last year, and that would be a complete departure for me for what they feel about how they need to treat the position after having that asset invested. I think they're totally in on Taylor Rapp as their number one safety. But with Rapp, you do have some injuries. So that's why I don't see it. But why suddenly are all these people safety to the Bills? Could it be what I said, where they're looking at the metrics and the PFF grades and all that? Sure. Have we thought about this, though? Maybe there's some smoke around it because the Bills are trying to entice a team to come up to 30. Maybe there's some chatter around the league. Oh, the Bills really like a safety at 30, because the Bills say, you know what? That's very plausible. And if that somehow gets around, then maybe a team says, ooh, we want to come up and grab that safety because he's starting to fall. And the Bills drop back and get some more picks because they don't feel that there's a guy at 30 that's commensurate with where they're picking as far as value. That could be it. I'd be surprised if the Bills took a safety. I'd be very surprised if they took a wide receiver. I don't think that's happening in round one. I know a lot of you think they should want one. Again, I look at how this team operates, being around this team for 8 years, this regime for 8 years, and their philosophy, how they've operated in the past, and the things that they've said this offseason, and how they've built their roster this offseason. It's not perfect. I could be wrong, no doubt about it, but I'd be surprised. I would not be surprised if they draft a defensive lineman or a cornerback. And I also wouldn't be surprised, and I've been predicting, they draft three defensive players between Thursday and Friday, with as long as they're kind of staying in those positions. If they drop way back in the second round or get to the third round, then I think some other things do come into play. 803-0550. All right, let's get your thoughts on this overall. Let's go to Jim in Lakeview. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR.
Yeah, Sal, you know, I kind of disagree with your pick, and I'll tell you why. And I really believe a playmaking safety should be in play for the Bills. You look at the PFF grades for the Bills defense last year. You know, they were in the top 10 on first down and second down. They were 29th on third down. They couldn't get off the field, especially in third and long situations. Now, a one technique defensive tackle isn't even going to be on the field on third and long. And I really think that's something they need to address, these third down situations where they can't get off the field. And I harken back to something Dan Orlovsky said on your radio station after the Bills lost to the Chiefs. He said basically the Bills don't have enough playmakers in the backfield, defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. And you see that especially against the great quarterback. So, drafting a one technique, especially the guy at Ohio State, he's not going to be on the field on third down. And boy, that's where we need the major improvement on third down.
Yeah, all good points. I respect it. What about corner or edge rusher for this? Edge rusher would help everybody, obviously, if you have a guy that can get off the edge. And then corner could help for exactly what you're saying, maybe.
What I would say, Sal, is if there's of those three positions, whichever the Bills rate the highest player. In other words, if they rate the safety higher than the other two, fine. If they rate the corner higher than the other two, fine. I take the guy that's highest on their board in either of those positions, speed rusher, cornerback, or safety. But I think they really got a good shot at Starks from Georgia. And
here's my point on Starks, though, Jim, again. Here's my point on Starks again, all right? I want you to think like the Bills here. You can look at all those metrics you want. You can hear, listen to Dan Orlovsky. Have the Bills ever operated like that? Did they take a safety, an early guy, a young guy, and they put him in their system and play right away? It just doesn't happen. I just don't see it. That's why. And I'm not telling you that they shouldn't. I know you're making the point. I'm telling you to put yourself in their position. Do you see Brandon Bean doing it? I don't.
Well, they should. I mean, they should consider it because...
I know, but that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, do you think they would, considering what you know about them?
They have to look back at their complete failures in the playoffs, especially against Kansas City, and see where they failed. And their failure is not being able to get off the field and not having playmakers in the defensive backfield. That should be their focus. How do we get past...
I understand. I'm still asking you the same question, though. That's okay, though. It's okay. I know you think they should do that. I'll ask one more time. Do you think that Brandon Bean will actually do that?
I think if Brandon Bean has an honest evaluation of where his biggest weaknesses are, yes, I think he would reevaluate. Okay. I don't think they're stuck in one position and totally inflexible.
No, I don't either. I just know how they operate at safety, and that's why I'm pushing back. Thanks, Jim. Great call. I appreciate the thoughtfulness. And listen, I agree with you that, you know, third down has been an issue, and those areas would help more than a one technique, no doubt. I'm going to keep asking that question to everybody, though. Okay? You can keep telling me they should. I want you to put yourself in their position and say, think about how they think about things. Even if you disagree, think about how they think about things. That's always been my position on this. Aaron in Attica. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good.
So, your safety point, I 100%, I don't think that they should go there with 30. But what do you think about them going there in second round? I think about guys like Kevin Winston Jr., Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. I mean, even Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma. Those are guys like, to me, because I look at Rapp and Bishop, and I went back and watched more tape of Bishop, and they both are like box safeties to me. I feel like we are kind of lacking that, you know, Micah Hyde, the deep third, you know, safety that can roam the field a little bit. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I just kind of wanted to ask you what you thought about.
Yeah, I think whether it's and whether it's a specific player, instead of saying that, Aaron, I'll say I absolutely think safety is going to get drafted at some point. I just don't think it's round one for this team. I'd be surprised if it's even round two. I think it's day three. It could be round three. I just don't see it. They just used that asset last year, and they have Taylor Rapp for two more years. And again, I'm going to go back to what I think they feel about Taylor Rapp. There's a difference between what fans and media think about Taylor Rapp, what I think the Bills do. The Bills feel he sets their defense. He's a captain and piece setter on that side of the ball. They rely on a down in, down out basis. They can play different roles. And let's remember, when he got to Buffalo, Taylor Rapp, he did play in the box more. It didn't go great, but they did use him that way. And then now you have Bishop, who can also come down to the box, who we did see play a lot there last year. Again, trying to bring you how I think they view it. I do think they will draft one. I'm wondering why so many people are linking them to him, because I don't see it as much. Good discussion. All right, Matt Jaworski, Fordham Defensive Player of the Year from Western New York. Hoping to hear his name called this weekend, but even if not, should be in NFL camp. We'll get with him after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good discussions. Keep the calls coming. 803-0515 at Sal Sports.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The draft is 3 days, two nights, tonight, tomorrow night, and then all day Saturday. And don't forget, tomorrow night, April 25th, Whalen Brewing Company in Orchard Park is where you can join us at the Ultimate Draft Party from 7 to 10 p.m., hosted by Jeremy and Joe. Test your knowledge with 5 rounds of trivia for awesome prizes, courtesy of Whalen, plus a special themed menu. Don't miss this party. Visit WGR550.com for details. Sal Capaccio with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, dreams come true this weekend, right? Whether it's first round, second round, day number three, undrafted free agents, teams will be signing them as well. Not only do you have, obviously, your name players that people know about, recognize, do mock drafts with, but also a lot of local guys who are hoping to advance their careers to the next level. One of them is Matt Jaworski, who's from Western New York, went to St. Francis High School, and was recently named the Defensive Player of the Year for the Patriot League at Fordham University. He joins me right now on the Western Hotline. Matt, good to talk to you. It's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Congratulations on a great season, and thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Sal. Thank you. Appreciate you having me on today.
You got it, man. All right, familiarize our listeners with you and your story, if you could. Just kind of growing up, where you grew up here in Western New York, and kind of your path to where you got today.
Yeah, grew up in Hamburg, went to St. Francis for 4 years, and then ended up going to Fordham in the Bronx in New York City.
And when you got to Fordham, I mean, what was it like for you to advance from high school to the college level? What was that transition like for you?
It was, you know, I was thankful to go to St. Francis, where Jerry Smith, the head coach there, was had sent, you know, hundreds of players to the next level. So he was able to, you know, prepare me what day-to-day would kind of look like, and you know, how practice changes. So I ended up showing up prepared and was able to make you know, significant playing time as a freshman, and it kind of just pushed my career fast forward, really fast, and it was good.
There was a bit of a gap there, right, though, between St. Francis and Fordham due to COVID. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, so COVID was kind of just my whole time that getting recruited. I wasn't able to visit any of schools that offered me. So Fordham was actually the only school that I saw. It was like 2 days before everything shut down. So out of all my offers and everything, Fordham was the only school I was able to go see. So that's kind of where COVID affected my class. You know, we didn't get COVID years or anything, or we really weren't able to get recruited other than just phone calls and Zooms. So I was fortunate enough to see that at least a couple of days before COVID hit.
So you go to Fordham, and you said you started to get some time your freshman year. And then as things progress, especially in this day and age of the portal and transfers and all those kinds of things, why'd you stay at Fordham?
Yeah, so I obviously had some opportunities my junior year to go play my senior year somewhere else. But I was elected captain to go in my senior year. I had a semester left, so I was able to graduate early. And I had a really good relationship with both my head coach and my D-line coach at the time. And I was able, I just felt like the best place for me was Fordham. And I think loyalty to a program and to coaches means something. And I stayed at Fordham for my last year, and I think it's going to turn out well.
All right, so now you're at this process. You are named the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. First of all, let's go through last year. I mean, a very productive year. What was last year like for you, being so highly productive and being able to make plays and obviously earning some honors?
It's fun. You know what I mean? To go out there and, you play with some of the guys for 4 years. So, playing with your best friends and, being able to lead them, being a captain, and it feels great. And then to go out and have success with it is even better. So it was just, it was good to kind of see, 3.5 years of hard work pay off. And
So we have here, obviously, I'm sure you're familiar with Sean Dolak, and everybody wondered why, from the University of Buffalo, first team All-American, wasn't at the combine, didn't go to a lot of the bowl games. How about you, your postseason? Were you in the mix? Did you have any talks about going to any of these bowl game invites, combine, anything like that? How did all that process go for you?
Yeah, so I did the CGS Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas. That was just like a weekend with a couple scrimmages. You know, you meet with teams and I did that for a weekend, and then for FCS, it's tough to get that type of exposure. But I actually work out with Dolak at least probably 3 times a week with
that's cool.
John Offer at Performance, so I know both of them very well.
All right, so you're listed here. I'm looking at 6'4", 250. Is that about what you are now, or how have things changed since last year?
Weight will fluctuate, but I'm about 255 now, and for my pro day, I ran around 248.
Okay, so when you go through the process with teams, where do they basically try to slot you on the defensive side of the ball at the next level?
It really just depends on the team and their scheme. I fit both in a 4-3 and a 3-4. So, some look at me more as a four-down D-end, which I'd probably weigh more towards 260, 265. And then there's teams that see me more as like an outside linebacker in a 3-4, which would kind of just be my weight right now, 250, 255. So it'll really all just depend on where I go, what scheme they want me to play, and what position they think, kind of fits my body type best.
I'm guessing you're comfortable doing either of those things?
Yeah, I've weighed 240 and I've weighed 270. So it's
that's amazing.
Familiar with all of it, and I enjoy it all. So,
yeah, the Bills used to have a guy here named Lorenzo Alexander. I don't know if you remember when he played when you were growing up, but Lorenzo had literally been over 300 pounds. He had been 250. He had played O-line, D-line. It's amazing what you guys can do to transform your body like that to be able to play. What about special teams? Obviously, a guy like you, if you hook on with a team, you're going to probably be asked to play special teams.
Definitely. Yeah, so, going to Fordham and kind of playing all 4 years, I've played every special teams. I did, I think my freshman and sophomore year, I played every single special teams except punt for, the 12, 11 games that we did play. So familiar with it, and I'm definitely going to be expected to play some special teams. So,
Matt Jaworski joining me here on the Western Hotline. All right, Matt, so what has the pre-draft process been like for you? Have you met with teams? And I'm sure people listening would like to know if you specifically met with the Bills.
Yes, I did the Bills local day. I was able to do the Giants and the Jets as well. Between my agent and I, we've talked to just about all 32 teams, whether that be phone calls, Zooms, or in person. So it's going well. I'm just excited for this weekend and really grateful for this opportunity, and we'll see what comes of it.
Is there any sort of like insight into, you know, where people think you might fit in? Is there phone calls made about, hey, if you're not drafted, priority free agent, have you had those processes? What from your end, you just kind of sit back, you wait, and then whatever happens on Saturday happens on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say I think I have an idea, but then again, right. It's, you know, you never know. Like, I have draft grades, and from a UDFA to, you know, a draft grade, but, you know, at the end of the day, you don't really know until it happens, so you just kind of stay patient, and it'll all figure itself out.
You grew up here. Did you grow up a Bills fan? Did you watch the NFL? Are you a Bills fan?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember growing up and, you know, walking around tailgates, and my grandpa used to always bring an RV, so we'd go hang out, and the whole family would show up and watch the game. So, yeah, definitely a Bills fan.
And obviously, the story of Joe Andreessen last year. Do you know Joe at all in his path to the NFL? And obviously, that's a great story as well.
Yeah, I've met Joe, you know, a ton of times. He works out at the same place with John Offer, so a lot of those guys are always in there, especially all the local Buffalo guys. So, yeah.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for joining us today. Listen, man, best of luck. Whatever happens this weekend, I know a dream could definitely come true for you and wherever you land. I know a lot of people hope it's right here in Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills, but you get on with one of these 32 teams in the NFL. That's something, man. So congratulations on a great career, and let's catch up again after that happens. Okay, buddy?
Sounds good, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Jaworski. He was the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year, 6'4", 250. He said he can play at 275. He can play a little bit shy of 250. It is amazing how people can transform their body. Not unlike my producer, Josh Schmidt. Josh, you can do that to your body, right? You can go up to 250, you can go down to 200, right? I mean, it's just easy for you.
Yeah, that's a Tuesday afternoon. What are you talking about? Come on.
Of course, right? Especially when, listen, when they bring some of that good food to the bistro, I know you, right? And then you're like, I got to get rid of this. You go to the gym, right? No, it's right. You go eat it, and they're like, I got to go. I'm the same way. I got to eat some food. Like, now I got to go work out a little extra tomorrow. Right? Get back down to the weight that I need, right? It was not a shot. It was just meaning that we have good food in the bistro sometimes. That's all it is, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, so that is Matt Jaworski, and obviously he's hoping to hear his name called. And then you have Sean Dolak, and I have seen a lot of projections for Sean Dolak that I think are now starting to creep towards him being selected maybe earlier than people thought a couple months ago, right? Earlier, a couple months ago, it's like, okay, priority free agent, undrafted free agent. I think now you're looking at a day three pick. I wouldn't be surprised if it's even before the seventh round. He's going to be on teams' radars. He had a great pro day, the local day for the University of Buffalo, the pro day for the University of Buffalo, I should say. His times, his strength, his speed, all that, very, very in line with a lot of the top players at his position from the combine. His size kind of fits in. He's very similar in a lot of ways to Matt Milano with his size. I'm not comparing the player. I think that'd be very unfair to do that. But I do think Sean Dolak has a very legitimate chance to get drafted this weekend. The Bills draft number 30. What do you want him to do? Call your shot. What do you think they're going to do? I have my mock posted at WGR550.com and at South Sports. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about what the Bills might do at number 30. I got a couple scenarios I want to lay out for you. And then Andy Young of Spectrum News One joins me at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All righty, the Bills picking number 30 in tonight's NFL draft. Will they pick number 30 in tonight's NFL draft? That's always the that is always the question, right? Heading in, seeing how it falls. When the Bills were picking higher, ninth overall at Oliver, they were lower in 2018. They traded up for Josh and then even Tremaine Edmonds later a couple of times. I mean, Brandon Bean has more of a history of trading up than down. Someone said to me today, they expected Bean to trade down because that's what he does. I'm like, well, he did last year. He's actually traded up more often in the first round than down. Traded up in 2022 for Kyrie Elam. Traded up in 2024, I'm sorry, 23 for Dalton Kincaid. And traded up in 2018 for Josh Allen and then again for Tremaine Edmonds. So I don't think there's any rhyme or reason about him trading up or down. He's been a GM for, this is his eighth draft. So you could take a look at all those things. He's traded up, he's traded down, he's stayed the same. And I think really where he does a lot of moving is second and third round, though, generally. All right, folks, listen all week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the 5th annual Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game at Salem Field. It is Sunday, May 4th. Your favorite offensive and defensive players play against each other to benefit the Imagine for Youth Foundation. Tickets are on sale at HydeCharitySoftball.com, also Bisons.com. Yesterday, I was down there, and it was a great day for the press conference. We did the show from down there, as you know. Really cool to be a part of that and to see Micah and everybody helping to put that on. So the couple scenarios I said I'd lay out for you. So that was it, trading up and trading down. Here's the issue, all right? We know the Bills don't have 30 first-round grades. Brandon Bean admitted that. He said that. And everybody knows this class does not have 30 first-round graded talents across the board. It's very rare any class does, actually, by the way, have 30 players that have a consensus first-round grade. Generally, you'll get most teams to say they have about 20 to 25, somewhere in there. This year seems way less. This draft has maybe 12 to 15, it looks like, first-round talented players, first-round graded players, according to most reports that you're seeing. The Bills are sitting at 30. So, but just because there's, let's just say there's 15. That might be high-end, but let's say there's 15. If there are 15 first-round graded players, that doesn't mean all 15 are going in the top 15 draft, you know, picks. Someone's going to fall. The question is, where do they get to? 19, 20, 21. Once that starts happening, that's when Brandon Bean has to make a decision and say, okay, there are two guys left that we have first-round grades on, and they could fit our team. I'm going to make a call to go up because if I'm going to pick in the first round, I want a first-round guy. I don't want to be picking 30th, a second-round guy, in the first round. So he has to make that decision. And he's done that again. He's done that a couple times over the last few years. You go up and you get a player who has a first-round grade, because if you don't, then you're eventually picking a player in the first round who doesn't have a first-round grade, and you don't want to do that. It's not easy, but that's how you have to look at it. The second scenario would be he doesn't do that because it would cost too much, and he's not going to go up and trade away whatever assets it takes to get up there. So he waits. All the first-round graded guys are gone by the time you get to 30, and he says, well, I'm not taking a guy at 30 that doesn't have a first-round grade. So he does what he did last year. Moves down into the second round. And then takes someone. Then you gain more picks. More picks to move around the board later. More picks for next year. The only issue with that I see is you already have 10 picks. I don't know if 10 guys are making this roster. Now, I thought last year it'd be tough for 10 guys to make the roster. They used 10. 8 of them made it. I think this year it's even tougher because last year there was a lot more turnover. You do have two guys on the roster right now, 67 guys on the roster right now. Two of them are suspended for 6 games. Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. So they will not count on the 53 at all. Like they, for the first 6 weeks, they'll be transitioned to another bucket that's reserve suspended list. So there are maybe a couple more opportunities. I still think it's tough for 10 guys to be drafted or undrafted free agents to actually make this roster. So if you're going to move down, if you're Brandon Bean, you're going to move down. I think that's a tough proposition because where you're getting more picks unless you then trade those picks a little bit later. All right, Andy Young, Spectrum News 1, joining me after this timeout of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is draft night 2025. We're talking about it here on WGR.